yes, we up and running. So, all right, so y'all are here. Is it Friday night? Yeah. I'm kind of lost because the other day I was a day ahead of myself, so I kind of lost myself. But it's Friday night. Y'all are here. I'm glad that you're here. So I hope that you will enjoy this message, because this was another message from the one last week. And I kind of told you last week, it was some, I don't know whether you want to call it personal, but it was close to home. And there's some things that, you know, that I encountered talking to some people, and it gave me a lot of deep thought. And this one here, I started thinking about it too, because another person I so happened to be talking to that day asked me about, you know, in a way saying, you know, something must be wrong with me. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I'm constantly praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And it just seemed like I'm not hearing nothing. I sit in church, praise and worship with the songs. You know, I listen to the messages. I talk to other brothers and sisters, and it just seemed like God's not giving me no answer. So is there something wrong with me, gentlemen? And I kind of looked at the person and said, you know what? No, nothing wrong with you. I go through those periods. I believe all of us does, you know. And I told her, I said, it's okay. You know, lots of times in my ministry, you know, when I was praying and actually meditating, if you want to call it that, reading, studying, there's been lots of periods where God was silenced with me. Nothing. And I'm sure you can testify to this. You can say yes in the chat room. I'm sure some of y'all have encountered that too. I mean, I think to me personally, we all go through that, don't we? I do a lot. So, you know, don't be afraid to type, because it doesn't make no noise or nothing when you type. But, you know, personally, yeah. So that's why I was thinking this, and I was thinking to myself, and I'm not sure about all of you, but I know, as I just said, there have been some times in my life where I have cried out to God, asking Him for some kind of answer. And what happens? Nothing. Nothing. No response. No answer. Just absolutely nothing. Just plain silence. Now, if I had the video camera on, yours is on, I will ask for a show of hands. Have you been through that? Have you been there or gone through it? I think, again, all of us can give testimony to that. Yes, we have. And that, me personally, at times that I felt so let down. I really did. I felt so hurt that I prayed similar prayers to what King David prayed and what we're about to read tonight. I prayed those prayers like he did. And like David, I myself have cried, God, where are you? Where are you, God? Can't you see I'm hurting? Can't you see I'm dealing with difficulties? Can't you see my family's going through pains and hurts and sufferings? Where are you, God? And this is why I was thinking about this message, you know. And David himself, when you read mainly throughout the whole book of Psalms, he prayed like that and he cried out like that at times. And then I was thinking about that, you know, and I was thinking about this message, and I was asking myself this question. Did all the prayers of the godly men in the Bible get answered? Did all the prayers of godly men in the Holy Bible, did they get answered? I think if you really study and look, a lot of them didn't. See, before you even answer yes, folks, before you even type in, you know, yeah, I think they all got answered. Let's look at a few of those men that we're going to review in the Bible. Moses himself, he begged God to let him lead his people into the promised land. And what happened? Moses died on Nebo's peak. His request was refused. Paul, he prayed 3 times for the removal of that thorn in the flesh. Now, we know the answer to that. Look what God did. He said instead, he was told, "My grace is sufficient for thee." But you know the one that caught my attention the most? Even Jesus himself in the garden cried out for the release from the cross. Y'all know what he said. "Fall if this cup can be passed from me." But later on, he heard nothing. All he heard was silence. So he ended up saying, "Okay, then, let your will be done." So instead, he had to suffer the pain of it. So if you got your Bibles, we're in the book of Psalms, chapter 28. The book of Psalms, chapter 28, 2 verses, verses 1 and 2. And we're starting off at verse 1 in Psalms 28, and it says, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me. Lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask you, Father, just to give us a short little time to listen. As I was contemplating on this message and thinking about it, and a lot of times I can really relate to what I'm about to say tonight, because a lot of times, you know, Father, I had not heard from you, and I prayed and I asked and I begged and begged and begged, and it seemed like at those times, you know, it's just been nothing but silence. And the only thing I can do at those times is still do what I told someone the other night. Hey, we just got to trust God. That's it. Trust him. Sometimes that's not an answer we want to hear when we tell someone, look, just trust God. Sometimes we want something answered right away. Sometimes we want to get that instantaneous answer. But a lot of times you got to let us sit silent. And a lot of times we wonder why, God. So I ask of you, the two that came here tonight, there's more I felt that should have been here. I don't know why they don't want to show up. I don't know why they're not showing up. I saw many of them earlier online. I know they're about. But yet they decided not to come. So again, I'm just going to leave that to your hands. You know, one I just saw a little bit earlier, you know, that poor person's always dealing with silence. And I wish the person would have been here tonight, but again, it's whatever reason why they're not showing up, I don't know. I'm going to leave that in your hands. So, Father, I ask you to bless those two here tonight. Be with them, strengthen them, encourage them, and lift them up, and let them know that you love them. Father, we praise you and glorify you by our actions, by the things that we do. We give everything to you in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the title of this message, and those of you who've seen the Facebook post, and it's called Dealing with the Silence of God. Now, that's a really deep thought title right there, you know, because many times, that's why I say a lot of these messages, most times to me, it's personal. And this is where the Holy Spirit helps me to come together, to put notes and commentaries and thoughts and everything else, because, you know, a lot of times it's something that I experience, and this is why I write this way, and this is the why I preach this way. You know, I preach exegete and I preach expository, you know, so I preach many different ways and different styles, but I just preach the way the Holy Spirit tells me to preach. And tonight's message, again, I know all of us has dealt with the silence of God. I know we have, because again, you know, I'm not trying to say nothing, but if someone says, "Oh, Jim, I never had a silent period with God." You know, and if I heard someone tell me that, I'm going to look them in the eye and say, "Okay, give me your secret. Because I would love to know how you do it." We all do. Even many men of this Bible had silent periods with God. And friends, as I just said a little bit earlier, there are going to be times in your devotional and your prayer life where you hear God's voice. You will. We all hear it. But there will also be times when you feel the silence of God. I call it the cricket syndrome. Nothing. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, we take a lot of vacations and we ride in the mountains, you know, and we look at all the beautiful scenery, and sometimes we're 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet above sea level, you know. And sometimes we pull off these little pull-off ledges, like little scenery ledges. You know, you pull off and you get to get out the car and you sit and you look and you awe and wonder. But you know what I do a lot of times when I'm in those positions? I listen. That's right. Way up there in the mountain on the ledges, I listen. And a lot of times all you hear is silence. And a lot of times to me in those periods, it's peaceful. You're trying to clear your head. You got a lot of thoughts. And at those times when you start speaking to God, you hear that silence. And to me, those times when I find they're wonderful. But a lot of times when we are dealing with things and we're going to God in prayer and we need some answers, we kind of hear that same silence. Sometimes we get the answers, sometimes we don't. But see, I'm not trying to discourage nobody, because there will be times when you feel the silence of God. And this is why I believe that many Christians today do not pray or even worship daily. Because all too often we sense the silence of God. So tonight, my friends, whenever you sense that or you feel that in your heart or your mind, I want to share with you tonight three simple thoughts on the silence of God. The first one is, when you can't hear him, know that he is always listening to you. John chapter 9, verse 31 says that he is ready to listen to those who worship him and do his will. Psalms chapter 34, verse 15 reads, and the Lord watches over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. Psalms chapter 66, verse 19 declares, but God didn't listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Have you ever wondered if God listens to your prayers? Have you sometimes felt like it was a waste of time? That the heavens are closed to your petitions? Or your direct phone lines been disconnected, or some would use technology that the internet is down? Have you ever felt like that? You see, I noticed this story when I was writing this, and I found this by Franklin Roosevelt when he was the president of the United States. And he himself often endured what we call long receiving lines at the White House. He complained one day that no one really paid any attention to what he said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the guests, they responded with phrases like, marvelous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, sir. You see, it was not till the end of the line, when greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Nam paused, the ambassador leaned over and he whispered in his ear, sir, I'm sure she had it coming. Despite how you feel, my friends, or what you might think, please be assured that God is listening. He may be silent, but he is always listening. He's always listening. The second thought for tonight, my friends, When you can't hear him, don't always blame yourself for his seeming silence. Let me repeat that. When you can't hear God, don't blame yourself for his seeming silence. Don't. Friends, I have seen a lot of people in my ministry beat themselves up, feeling like many have said that God has rejected them because they do not hear the voice of God. Have you encountered some people like that? I'm not sure if you did or not, but you know, I do. Many of them are beating themselves up because it's a gym I'm praying. God's not hearing. I'm meditating, but nothing's coming. I'm seeking the words, but nothing's happening. I must be punished. I must be punished. I must have done something wrong. I must not be worthy. Oh, they're giving many excuses, but what they're doing, they're beating themselves up. And here, my friends, are a few examples of the people in the Bible that did not hear from God when they needed him the most. Abram and his family endured not one, but two distinctive periods of God's silence. Not only is God's silence real, biblical, and personal, it is also common. Look into Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 36. Consider Joseph's experience with the silence of God. Joseph himself was obedient to God. He trusted, obeyed, followed, and ended up in a foreign land, Egypt, a teenage victim, sold in human trafficking transaction. He became a slave to Potiphar's house. When he was a slave, Joseph was also wrongly accused. When Potiphar had Joseph thrown into the Egyptian prison, and you look at Genesis chapter 40, it concludes by saying Joseph was forgotten in prison. Joseph was forgotten in prison. Now you can imagine how he felt. I probably at that particular point would have felt like I've been abandoned by God. Here my family sold me. I'm in a foreign land. Was trying to do the right thing. Wrongly accused. God, I'm going to trust you to help me. But yet, thrown in prison and forgotten about. Wow. How about this? Look in the life of David. The man after God's very heart. He was always begging God to answer. God, please. Look what he said in Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. Answer me, O God. Psalm 69:17 reads, don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Psalms chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 says, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with the anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God, answer me. David was a man after the heart of God, but he even felt the silence of God. Now, it did not mean that David had abandoned the Lord. It did not. It did not mean that David failed God. Friends, when you feel the silence of God, please do not beat yourself up. Do not let the enemy lie to you and say, You are a wicked person. Wicked, bad. Don't let the enemy lie to you like that. Folks, you are God's chosen person. You are loved by God. God loves you. And don't forget that. The enemy will tell you different, but God loves you. And sometimes I do say this a lot to a lot of people. Look, God is not required to give you an answer right away. In fact, he's not required to give you an answer at all. What's required of you to be obedient, patient, and trust him. That's what God expects of you. And if it takes a silent period for you to come to that conclusion, then so be it. But don't beat yourself up. Don't. The third thing we can learn about the silent period of God in our lives is when you can't hear him, never forget that his answer is usually found in his written word. That's straightforward, isn't it? When you hear silence, maybe it's time for you to sit down there and slowly digest and read his words carefully. See, sometimes people in their everyday busy lives want to hurry and quickly read the word, thinking, oh, I chalked one up today, I read his word for 10 minutes now, and I've done my thing, so I'm off and go do mine. Is that really giving the glory to God? I caught myself doing that a lot. Oh, I'm going to pray to you on the way to work real quick, because I wanted to sleep in 15 more minutes extra. But God had to deal with me one time in a solid period. He said, finally, I heard the answer. Jim, go to bed 15 more minutes earlier. Really? Yeah. You see, folks, when you can't hear from him, never forget. The answer is usually found in his written word, because the Bible contains the answers to every area of your life. It is the fix to all of life's problems. There are so many times in the life that we crave a response to our prayers. That's right, folks. There are so many times in the life that we crave, we're craving a response to our prayers. Yes, they will come, but most often God responds to us through his words, or by his timing, or by his ways. We kind of all know what Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, for my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. I'm kind of paraphrasing that a little short, but that's the fact. It's not what we think. It's not what we want. It's what God thinks and God wants. You see, John 1 teaches us that the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. And that means that in Jesus are the answers. And where is Jesus revealed? Where is Jesus revealed? In the Word. In the Word. The Word of God speaks. We see it as though you are faced with the silence of God. Or when it seems like that you're faced with the silence of God, folks, read the Word and you may discover the answer. Read the Word. See, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 reads, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors, through the prophets, But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God's Son is the Word, folks. John chapter 1, verse 1 said so. And if this is true, then God speaks to us through the Word. So why does God allow us to experience these times of struggles or in prayers or in a silent period? Why does he allow that? Well, to me, I thought about this. The answer can be a variety of reasons. It could be God's way of alerting us to the realization that we are trapped in a pattern of sin. It could be. It could be a way, and I thought about this, to test and strengthen our faith through trials. You know why I kind of went there? Look what Job went through. Whew. Can we all give testimony to the fact that, hey, can we react the same way Job did? I don't think I would have. Knowing that much calamity that he faced? No. Job, if you read the whole book of Job, went for a long period of time in silence. Didn't hear nothing from God. Oh, he got great advice from his so-called friends, but he got nothing from God. And yet, at a few points, you can see where Job was kind of getting a little irritated. He kind of like, okay, God, where are you? Where are you? And we know what happens after chapter 38. God shows up. So, folks, no matter what the reason, desolate times are an opportunity for growth so we can learn how to fight the light in our personal darkness. That's what it does. It helps us fight to find the light in our personal darkness. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Yes, folks, there are going to be times when you face the silence of God. Yes, you will. And when you face the silence, let me give you the best advice of all. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Hold on. Because God is there. And just because God is silent does not mean that he does not listen. See, prayers, friends, is the means by which we communicate with God. Revelation is the means by which God communicates with men. When you're faced with silence, and I know it's a hard thing to do because I do it myself, and yet I got to struggle with it. I got to struggle with it. But whenever you're faced with silence, keep talking to God. Keep talking to him. Don't give up. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean that you should doubt him or stop praying. That should be no excuse. Yes, we are tempted many times, you know, we start doubting. Yet, I've been tempted many times, well, seems like the prayer ain't being heard. I might as well just quit praying on that. I might as well just quit praying altogether. I don't know where you at, God. I've been praying. I prayed for 4 months straight for this and nothing. And I've been tempted to stop. But yet, the Holy Spirit in me keeps pushing me on. Keep praying. Keep talking. See, folks, God's silence isn't a license for us to turn our backs on him. That should be no reason. Instead, it's an invitation to press forward and seek him more diligently. You see, the psalmist modeled crying out to God. David says, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I find no rest. Psalms chapter 22, verse 2. Job himself also continually cries out to God, asking him for an answer. And as I said a little bit earlier, for the pages of the book of Job, God is silent. But like I said, in chapter 38, God answers. He answers. But notice how he answers. He questions Job. And he tells him this. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Asked God. Tell me. Tell me now, if you have understanding. That's chapter 30, verse 4, in case you want to go read it. Now, can you imagine if God all of a sudden showed up and told you, Fred, you tell me when I laid the foundation of the earth. Tell me if you have the understanding. Elizabeth, what if God showed up and told you, hey, where were you when I laid the foundation of this universe? Come on, tell me if you got an understanding. And if he even did that to me, I would look at him like, I don't know. See, I think when God did that to Job, he was really putting Job in his place and telling Job, then how dare you question me and the way I do things. See, I thought about that when I was reading that. I've been reading through Job. And that hit me, and that really made me think, you know, I think that's what God really was doing. How dare you question me? You know, I was thinking about that parable when those, I think it was lawyers or whoever it was, when they was asking Jesus, where does the baptism of John come from? Come on, tell us. Then when Jesus, you know, he gave them the answer, you know, about which authority, you know, I forgot how it went, but he threw it right back in their face. He says, okay, by whose authority that so-and-so says this and that, whatever. And they said, well, we do not know. Well, Jesus ended up telling them, well, neither will I tell you. So, folks, whenever you're dealing with your silent period and you start questioning God, don't. I'm not saying that God doesn't like it when you do it, but I say that when we question God, we're doubting him. That shows us that we don't have to trust in him. Folks, all I can say right now, whenever we are praying and reading and going to God with our supplications and prayers, that God himself is in control and he has been all along. Yes, he heard Job's cries for help, and in trust, he waited for the perfect time to speak. And then Job himself was reminded. God answers prayers. And at times when you hear nothing but silence, be patient and wait. Sometimes he is seeing, and this is why I feel this way. Sometimes he is seeing how faithful we really are to him. And he himself may be testing your faith to prove yourself to him. Will you trust God to straighten out the mess in your life? Will you? Will you trust God to see you through the desert? Often silence means God wants to reveal something fresh, a new calling he has for you. Because God has entrusted you with his apparent silence for a greater reason. Don't lose heart in this time of preparation, friends. Don't. Trust is the central issue that needs your focus. And I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. I love this quote she said. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Will you trust God? Will you trust God even when you hear nothing? Reason I say this is because God's silence can lead to our transformation. And last but not least, when the silence of God is real in your life, you must recognize that you are not alone in this stillness. You're not. In fact, you are in good company. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight. I know often at times we do deal with these silent periods, and sometimes we wonder why. I'm sorry sometimes if I do question you. I know we shouldn't, but, you know, I do. I try not to question you in a bad way, but I'm just like, you know, God, I really need some help with this. I really need the answer. Could you please just let me know something? Show me. I know we're not supposed to be chasing miracles. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you, Lord, and say, okay, I sure wish, you know, you would just give me an answer, because it would help a lot. Sometimes that waiting period and that trusting and that just silent period, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. So after what I was thinking of and reading through this and the notes and the message here tonight, all I can do is just help you do what you do best by allowing me to surrender to you. So allow me just to help you, allow me to be transformed by you instead of resisting. To allow myself just to submit to your authority and just let you do what you do best. Be patient and wait. Even sometimes that is difficult. I know at times I don't do things right as I should, and sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. And sometimes when I do those things I shouldn't do, that's when I hit those silent periods. And sometimes I need to sit back and reflect and look to you and seek your answers and seek your guidance. So all I can do is ask of you again tonight, Father, and whenever we do experience these silent periods and prayers and meditations and words, and that we just allow ourselves to be open up to you and allow ourselves to surrender to you. So, Father, thank you again for these fine group of people here tonight. They took time out of their busy schedule to be here. That says a lot. Those who didn't show up here tonight for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, maybe whatever it may be, I just don't know. So, again, all I can do is trust you and just allow you just to direct me and go to the direction that you want. And do the same for these folks tonight. So, Father, I pray to you. I praise you. Give glory and honor and praises to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.